I would just say there's one misperception of our veterans, and that is they are somehow damaged goods. Although if we tell our veterans enough that this is what's wrong with them, they may actually start believing.
Welcome to Dead Reckoning Radio. This episode is sponsored by Recon Rings, simple, effective silicone wedding bands for those that live kinetic lives, tested and proven in austere environments. Visit reconrings.com and use the code DEADREckoning for 10% off any purchase. Also, we got Arrowhead Coffee Company. It's roasted in Canada and is CAF, better known. Finer coffee for finer company. Use DEAD10 for 10% off your first order. This episode, I talked to Rob Cosman and Luther Sheely. Luther is a retired U.S. Army Field Artillery Colonel. Rob is a woodworking craftsman known for his specialty in hand tools. Together, they started the Purple Heart Project, which is a week-long, scholarship-funded hand tool workshop. It is for veterans who still suffer the effects of war and will benefit from the joy woodworking offers. Enjoy.
All right, gentlemen, how you guys doing?
Well, it's all good from here up in Seattle.
Yes.
Everything is dandy in NB.
Hi, Luther.
Right on.
Hello.
All right, so who do I got on with me? I got Rob Cosman and Luther Sheely. Luther, can you tell me a little bit about yourself? Let the audience know.
Well, sure. I'm Luther. I currently live up in the Seattle area. I'm a retired Army colonel, field artillery. I retired back in 2014 and went back to work as a contractor for the military doing leadership consulting. But more appropriate to this is one of the things that I've always wanted to do was woodworking skills, which anyone in the military knows you really don't have a lot of time for any in-depth hobby. So One of the presents to myself upon retirement was to start taking some woodworking courses up here in the Pacific Northwest. And a woodworking buddy of mine mentioned that he had gone to this guy's class named Rob Cosman at Woodcraft, and he learned how to sharpen and he showed me freehand sharpening, and I was kind of blown away. And so I signed up for the next time. So I think it was like in 6 months for Rob showing up at my local Seattle Woodcraft. And I took his 2-day dovetail course, and Rob and I hit it off immediately. I think he'll tell you I was the best dovetail in the class. Not.
He was the only one in the class.
So then he told me about his training the hand woodworking course. He had a 2-week basic in advance. And so I raised my hand for that. I went out there, I guess about 6 months later, and we can talk a little bit more of what happened there. But that's kind of how I got introduced to Rob and hand tool woodworking, and it sunk into the brain and into the blood. And I've been practicing and trying to get better and better. And lo and behold, Rob and I kind of formed a relationship in a couple of areas, and I'm sure we'll talk more about that. So I still Sweet. Contract back for the Army a little bit, but mostly I'm enjoying retirement and doing woodworking.
And doing a lot of outdoorsy
stuff. Yeah, a lot of backpacking, a lot of biking, a lot of hiking, those types of things too.
Hey, alrighty, Rob. Now, tell everybody about you.
I can't top that. Oh, once upon a time. First of all, New Brunswick is in eastern Canada, northeast of Maine, right on the Atlantic Ocean, where I was born. My father was a shop teacher when I was born in Montreal, but he didn't particularly want to continue that, so he moved back to New Brunswick when I was just a little over a year to be a carpenter contractor. Back then, he would be often billed in areas where it could be a month before I had power. So as a kid, I always had a fascination with wood from my very earliest childhood memory. And I remember being on the job site with them and watching the guys, a load of lumber would show up. And back then it wasn't cut to length. And they would lay it all on the ground and one end would all be flushed up, and then they would chalk a line on 6 or 7 feet of 2x4 side by side, and then they'd start with a handsaw on one end, and that's how they would get their stud lengths. So I grew up around hand tools, and I continued with them from a very early age. I drove my father crazy because when it came to woodworking, I was a perfectionist. If it wasn't perfect, then I had to do it again. And if it wasn't perfect, I had to do it again. And sometimes it would go on multiple times. And it pretty much drove him nuts. But my disease. Went off to Brigham Young University and studied furniture design under Dale Nish and Milo Boffman, who are two individuals that were had worldwide reputations in their respective fields. And then in the summer of 1987, Dale Nish got me in touch with Peter Korn at Anderson Ranch Arts Center in Aspen, Colorado, actually Snowmass Village. And it was there that summer that I got to work as an assistant to Alan Peters, Peter Korn, Silas Koff, Monroe Robinson, Sam Maloof, Tay Frid, some of the biggest names in woodworking. In fact, if you were to open up a fine woodworking magazine from that period, these were the guys who were writing the articles. And that was a real eye-opener for me. Probably learned more in that summer than I did the previous 5 years at BYU when it came to actual woodworking. And that's not taking anything away from the program at BYU. That was just the advantage of being in such an intense learning environment with so many experts in the field. It couldn't have gotten any better. Graduated a year later, moved home. Actually, 2 years later, sorry. Moved home and opened my business, designing and building furniture. Lasted 11 years. At the same time, our family was growing. We were up to 6 children, and I couldn't feed them. I was working 16 hours a day, 6 days a week, and there was lots of work, but there was never enough money. And it was in late 1999 that I realized the only people who could appreciate what I was doing didn't want to buy it. They wanted to learn how to do it. And it was at the same time that Tom Lee Nielsen contacted me, wanting to know if I would be interested in selling his tools in Canada. And I had no idea who the man was. He had found out about me through a mutual contact in England. But he was only about 3 hours drive away. So I went down and was really impressed with his tools because he was selling hand tools that were in the state of readiness that I had been taught to get my hand tools. So one thing led to another. I started doing that part-time. A month later, it was full-time, and we thought we died and went to heaven because we were now actually had enough money to buy food. About the same time, I also recognized that the people that were buying the tools had no idea how to use them. They were just collecting them. So I started wood shows and producing woodwork instructional videos so people could take something home and learn how to sharpen, how to cut a dovetail, how to cut a mortise and tenon. And one thing led to another. I parted ways with Lee Nielsen in 2008. And by that time, after 8 years of doing it, I had also recognized that the tools that were being sold weren't necessarily suited to the 62, 63-year-old average consumer that was buying them. If you live in the northern part of either country, by the time you get to be 62, 63, 64, you've got a bit of arthritis in your hands. Your eyesight's not what it used to be. You don't have the same dexterity you once had. And these guys struggled with the tools. And I had modified tools to try to help them. And as a result, I ended up making my own line of tools, which is what we do now. And part of my going around and teaching is where I met Luther. And I don't know how much more you want to know, but I'll fill you in real quick if you want.
Absolutely.
So I got an email in March. Our workshops were scheduled for April. I got an email in March of 2016 from this young combat wounded Marine. And I didn't know anything about military other than what anybody else would know. But up until this point, from about 2000 on, I had been teaching this program called Training the Hand, which is a week-long crash course in hand tool skills. But it's a little more than a week in the sense that we used to start at 6:45 a.m. in the morning and run until 11 o'clock at night, and we would do that for 5 days. So it was kind of like 2 weeks in one. And my average customer was a 50, 55-year-old business executive who would come to me on Monday as tight as a drum from stress. And I would just watch them change over the week. And by the time Friday rolled around, these guys were like jellyfish. They were just mellowed. Well, back to the email. This young guy named Jesse, this Marine, said he was looking for a dovetail saw. He had been doing some research. And he figured that based on what he'd read, that mine was the best. But it was also the most expensive. And he said he couldn't afford a new one, and he wanted to know if I ever had any with cosmetic flaws that I would sell cheaper. And if so, if I would let him know, he thinks he could raise the money to buy one. And then to justify why he was asking for this, he said he was a combat wounded Marine, lived on a small military pension. But he said ever since he got involved in hand tool woodworking, he just noted that this was the first time he'd found any peace from the physical and the mental pain that he suffers from every day. Well, that line really struck me, because I instantly equated that to the guys that I had come to my class, civilians, stressed out civilians, and I saw what the result was in a week. In fact, I used to joke with these guys when I was recruiting them to come to my class. I just said, fire your therapist, come to my workshop, you'll be fine.
Costless.
This story needs to be told in its entirety, so it's going to take me a minute or two. After I read that email from Jesse, exactly 1 year before this, which would take you back to March of 2015, I got another email one day, and this guy just said, he introduced himself. He said, Rob, I really like what you're doing. Now, he was making reference to a video that we had just posted of the last week-long workshop we taught. We used to do that just as a means of advertising it. And he said, I would love to have taken your class when I was a young man, but I didn't have any money. But now that I'm older, I've got the money, I don't have the time. So I'm sending you $1,500 and use it however way you want. But if you want to pay for somebody to come to your class that couldn't otherwise afford it, you know, that would be great. But it's up to you. And over the course of that year, he ended up sending me in excess of $30,000. Never met him, never spoke to him, only ever contacted him through email. He would just keep sending me checks and said, you know, wow, why don't you start giving tools away? And he always demanded that he pay full retail for the tools and that he cover the shipping. So we used to do a draw every week, and we would give away $200 to $500 worth of tools just to people at random that were on our mailing list. And that summer, instead of paying for just one guy to come to the workshop, he actually ended up paying for five. Not only did he pay for their tuition, he paid for their hotel, he paid for their meals, he paid for their airfare, and a couple of them, he actually gave them an extra $500 to buy tools with. So really generous guy. I was blown away and humbled by this response. So when Jesse, the wounded vet, contacted me about this, the first thing I thought of was I got a contact. Now, we had since nicknamed this unknown donor as Santa Claus. So I immediately fired off an email to Santa Claus, and I said, you know, over the last year, we've helped a lot of people, but here's somebody that really deserves our help. And within about an hour, he emailed me back, and he said, Rob, you get a hold of Jesse, and you tell him he's coming to spend a week with you in Canada. And he said, I'll cover all the expenses. So I called Jesse. Mind you, this guy just threw out this email looking for a saw, and now he gets I emailed Jesse. He gets an email telling him that he just got an all-expense-paid trip to Canada for a week to learn hand-tool woodworking with this guy that he contacted. So I remember at one point he emailed me, said, Mr. Cosman, he said, would you please tell my family this? He says, they don't believe it. They don't believe me. But it was true. But we had to scramble because we only had a month to get him ready. And I remember asking him what he had for tools, and he started rattling off all these Harbor Freight tools he had. And I said, well, listen, leave the Harbor Freight crap at home. We'll get you some good tools. So I have an online workshop. We broadcast a half-hour training episode 3 days a week, and it's a paid membership. So the next time we filmed, I just told him the story. I said, we need to help this young guy. So any help you can
you can give would be appreciated. And the donations started rolling in right away. And Santa Claus heard what I was doing. He'd watched the broadcast. So he emailed me and he said, Rob, he said, I'll match anything you get up to $800. I said, well, we're already over 800. He says, okay, 1600. Well, that day we ended up raising, I think it was over $3,000 in tools. And everything was set. Now, Jesse was to come to the second workshop. Luther was coming to the first workshop and staying for the second workshop. Jesse was flying in on the Sunday between them. I was going to pick him up in Buffalo. We do the workshops in Niagara Falls, Ontario. And then he'd stay for that second week. Well, I got up there and realized I forgot my passport, so I couldn't go over. So I asked Luther. I said, Luther, would you mind? You're going to be here on the weekend. Would you mind going over and getting Jesse? I thought, you know, it'd just be perfect, right? You got a wounded vet. You got a retired colonel. They'd have something to talk about.
Yeah.
So to shorten this up, due to some issues that Jesse'd had years before that he didn't realize were still on his, I guess you have to call it a record, when he got to the Canadian border, denied him entry, wouldn't let him in the country. And it was a terrible situation, but Luther made the best of it. He spoke to the airline and got them to change his flight instead of charging him making him buy a new ticket. They just had a small change fee so he could ship him home the next day, and he got him set up in a hotel. And anyway, I felt terrible about the whole thing. And the next morning, which would have been Monday morning, while trying to explain this to the incoming class, I was having a bit of a hard time getting through it. And this guy that had come over from Australia to take the class came out and put his arm around me. He said, Rob, he said, you let me take care of this. Well, through the class, he raised enough money to buy Jesse a Schoberg Elite 2000 workbench. So that's a $2,000 bench. And not only that, yeah, but we raised the money to actually ship it to his apartment down in Southern California, along with, I think all told, was almost $10,000 worth of tools that and bench that we sent him. And, you know, at some point, Jesse.
Rob?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Just said something about the effect that he said, you don't know how you saved my life, how reaching out to me, you saved my life.
Yeah.
And I just thought, I said, you know, what's a few tools can that possibly make that much of a difference in someone's life? So.
Well, it meant a lot to him.
Yeah, it did to him. Jake and I decided that this is what we were going to do. So in November of 2016, we planned our first, it wasn't named Purple Heart Project then, but we planned our first week-long workshop where we would have half of the class would be combat veterans and the other half would be civilians. And we put the word out that what we were doing, and a widow from a student that used to take my classes, very wealthy man, contacted me, and she wrote me a check for $20,000. And she said, Rob, this is what Bob would want you to do. And then Santa Claus gave me another $10,000, and we raised another $10,000. So we had $40,000 to take care of. We only had seven guys apply. We took all seven of them. But we were able to bring them. We flew them in, took care of their hotel, their meals. And those guys each got about $2,600, $2,700 worth of tools to take with them. So they were... I remember telling Jake, keep your eyes open because I have no idea what we're in for. I had no experience with this. But it turned out to be the most rewarding, the best week of my professional career. And at that point, I just realized that this is what I was put on this planet to do. And this is what we were going to do. So we immediately made plans to do two of these back to back in April. Unfortunately, our $20,000 donations turned into $20 donations. And I remember thinking, man, we are in trouble. But there was no way that we were going to back down. There's no way we were going to disappoint these guys. So we started knocking on doors. We happened to be in the Niagara Falls area doing a wood workshop a couple months before our April workshop. And we went to some restaurants. And the first one we went to, in response for some help, they said, yep, we'll feed your vets for you every morning for free. And they've continued to do that. And other restaurants gave us 50% off. The hotel gave us a good deal. We didn't have any tools. I didn't have any money for tools. So I started contacting some of the Woodcraft store owners that I have gone in and trained their staff and did workshops for them in their stores. And the first guy I called was Russ Little, and Russ owns the Portland, Oregon store. And Russ has two boys that are in the Navy. And I just told him what I was doing. I said, Russ, I need help. I don't have money to get to these guys. And he just simply said, where do you want me to send them? And one more. The next guy I contacted, his name is Wayne Lousteau, and Wayne owns two stores in Colorado. And while I was telling him what I was doing and talking the phone, he said, Rob, I'll take care of two guys. And then later that night, he called me back and he said, I'll take care of five more. So the generosity of the Woodcraft store owners has continued to support this program. And that's in a big way, that's the reason why we're able to continue. Although we get a lot of support from just the general public who just want to help. And Luther at one point said to me he was looking for something to do, and I was looking for someone to do it. So there's a little bit of chemistry there, because we both kind of realized the huge need for this. And Luther is so good with the guys. He just has a way with them. He respects them. They respect him. It just works. And like most artillery guys, he's so particular. He sends me spreadsheets to keep track of the spreadsheets he sends me. Nobody that comes to the class now ever has to email me a question, because with him sending them information, they know more than I know.
Well, yeah, whenever I signed up for when I applied, I only talked to Luther. I didn't talk to you until the day you called me saying that I got selected.
Well, Luther is, he doesn't want to admit it, but he is the cog that makes all this work. I have 10 children. I'm trying to run a business. Part of our business profit goes to supporting this program. I'm always juggling several things, and it's because of the work that he does that we're able to pull this off. And he's constantly badgering me to bring me up to speed on organization, and it's slowly working. But I could not do this. I would do it, but I couldn't do it nearly as efficiently and as well. This thing works like clockwork. I just tip my hat to him, and he knows it. And whenever I'm asked, I always make sure people realize he's the guy. He's the reason why this thing works as well as it does.
Well, I was just going to say the other missing piece of that is, so after that first class of seven, and then Rob and I got to talking, and so we kind of turned it into a real, you know, program from its, you know, humble beginnings. And you know, one day we were trying to figure out a name. That's where the Rob Cosman Purple Heart Project came into, and then we grew it into, you know, just write Rob, you know, because Rob gets 1,000 emails a day doing his business. So, you know, we turned it into a real application program, and you know, and what I brought to it was a little bit of rigor, a little bit of formality, not a lot, but just so we can get all the information and get it organized. And so, in fact, you know, you can speak to that probably better than anybody else, because you came in after we had got a couple of classes under our belt, and you know, we got it up on the robcosman.com webpage, meaning got the Purple Heart program, the application, so people could see it. And it went from kind of just talking about it hearsay to a real program. And so right now today, I've got 31 applications for the program coming up in October. Now, of course, we can only take 12 of those. We're only going to select 12, but that's how many applications we're running right now.
Yeah. When I was there, you guys were creating the site while we were doing the workshop the entire time. And Rob's website in itself used to be more towards the training the hand workshop and his videos that he puts out the 3 times a week. But now it's almost formatted completely around the Purple Heart Project. So as soon as you go to it, that's what everybody sees. And so Rob, you kind of put your name on this now. And Luther, yeah, you're the man behind the scenes. And so is Jake, making it all happen. And the site's super user friendly now, so it's made it a lot easier for people to see. And to kind of clarify, even though it is called the Purple Heart Project, the guys don't necessarily need a Purple Heart to apply.
No,
right?
No. The criteria that we have for Purple Heart, and that's just, you know, that's just kind of the tag name we put onto it. But it's any physically or mentally wounded warrior still suffering from the negative effects of combat, and is seeking the peace and joy that can be found through hand tool woodworking. So that's our mission. And so you don't have to be physically wounded. You can be mentally wounded. Combat deployment, whether it's recent or, you know, we have Vietnam vets that we take.
Honorable discharge.
Yes. So that's the mission. There's a couple of criteria we do. So one, you gotta be able to get into Canada. So
yeah,
I mean, which means really passport, and there's some there's some requirements that anybody that's got to apply to get in Canada. I mean, some tough restrictions. You know, if you have a recent DUI, for example, it's really difficult to get in Canada. So you've got to have a passport. Yeah. Got to be able to get in Canada. Fill out the application, and we ask the vets to describe, you know, how they got their physical or mental injury that they're still suffering from, and what's that like, so we can understand, and how that affects their family today and their needs, and how they got interested in woodworking and how they think woodworking can help. And so and this is my job, I check everyone. I take their, you know, if they're U.S. guy, which most, probably 90% are U.S., we require them to send in a DD-214, and I check with the Veterans Department. I do it other ways for the Canadians, and we've had applications from Australia and United Kingdom. But we check to validate that they are honorably discharged veterans. We kind of sit down, and based on what the vets tell us, and we kind of rank order everyone. And Rob and Jake and I will sit around either the phone or if we're together, for a couple hours, going through everyone and trying to figure out who are the 12. And I guess the other thing I didn't say is that, and they also couldn't afford to come on their own. And I use myself, for example. I'm a vet, retired 06, and I could afford, and I did, to go to Rob's class. And so I wouldn't be eligible for the Purple Heart program because I don't need assistance getting there. We're really looking for those guys that mentally are wounded combat veterans having a tough time still with their wounds from war, and this could help them, but there's, they need a scholarship to get up there and do it.
Tell him where we get our best referrals.
Well, I would say actually two places. Our very best referrals are from vets who've come to class. And I use, Tyler as the example here. Without going into a great deal, Tyler's combat medic. And you recommended another buddy combat medic of yours, and was on the next class in. We chose him, and a very deserving, great guy. And he did really, really well in the class. And we stay in touch with a lot of the vets, and you and Zach are to the guys. So referrals from guys who are in the class. And we've started also to get referrals from some places like the VA, the Veterans Administration, as we get known more and more out there. Not, I would say that's one of our biggest challenges, really, even with our website and all that stuff, is just getting the word out. Is our number one challenge. But as far as referrals, those are the two best.
Yeah, well, that's what I was hoping to do with this, and to kind of expand on a little bit is, when you're talking about physically, mentally wounded, and who could benefit from the joys of woodworking, like you're talking about with Jesse, is and then all those business executives that would take your class, Rob, is you go in there, you're tight, you're wound up, you don't really know what you're doing, because hand tools is a difficult skill, but within those few days, you really do learn how to use them. Just simply planing a block of wood, sharpening your chisels, it gives your mind to focus on the one specific task, and all your attention's in there, and it's paying attention to detail. It's giving you that new purpose. It's giving you that new outlet. And by the end of it, there's a finished product of what you have accomplished. And so it is gratifying and everything. And I was building a table for my kitchen about a week or two ago, and my wife hasn't even really seen me mess with my hand tools too often because we just did this whole big move, and I'm in the process of building my workshop, and the table was the first thing I actually got to do outside of remodeling. And she comes in here, I'm like, hey, let me show you this planing. And she sat there and watched me for like 2-3 minutes, and she's like, this is captivating. And she didn't even, like, there wasn't any word sound other than me just going and going and going and scraping it. And so it is just super therapeutic to just do the woodworking. But there's a reason why that you guys ask for the story in a way, because when we do show up there, we're not only doing the woodworking. It is also kind of, and I don't want to say a group session or group therapy by any means, but it's with other like-minded individuals who have experienced similar to you, along with civilians who help pay for us to get there. And it just brings us all together as one. And so if you guys wanted to expand on that, of what somebody could expect once they get there.
Let me tackle it. Tyler, you know, we're not quasi therapist or anything. I think that it's
no,
just that,
exactly.
You know, I think what anyone who deals with stress, no matter where it comes from, you know, will tell you that if you can find something that you can focus your mind and do some detailed work, that at that moment you're totally concentrating, you kind of, the stress leaves the body and you're in the moment. And if you're doing, we hadn't said this, but the course is all traditional hand tools, not electronic, it's not machines, you know, it's all hand plane and chisels, you know, the traditional way. And so, you know, to do that, it's very quiet. It's very much you and a tool and a piece of wood. And to get, you know, the saw cuts right and get the chisel takes a, you know, you're concentrating, and you're also concentrating in a fairly peaceful environment, and the sound of that plane is just wonderful. I've looked at what vets back in World War II and the Veterans Administration ran large woodworking programs for vets that were recovering from, they called 100 mile stare or battle fatigue, which we would call PTSD today. So it's not new, and we didn't invent it, and we're not therapists, but that's kind of what's going on. So what we do beforehand is bring everyone together. I stay in communication, primarily email with everyone, getting them ready for the class, you know, making sure they know what's going to go on. And we get the airline tickets. We have everyone show up at the airport at the same, approximately the same time, and we pick them up. We house all the vets in a nice three to four star hotel, two vets to a room. What happens is, you know, you were in Iraq or Vietnam or Afghanistan, you got wounded, or mentally or physically wounded. Typically, folks got evacuated from theater, and they've got discharged from the military, and they kind of lost being with that brotherhood bonding of their squad or their platoon or their team. And it's really amazing when all these guys come together at the airport, we get them the hotel room, it's almost an instant bonding. Even though they've never met before, they all have that same shared military experience. It doesn't matter whether it's a Vietnam vet with a Iraq vet or what have you. It's instant brotherhood and bonding that goes on, and that just gets stronger and stronger during the week. And so as Rob takes everyone through each day, you know, we'll stop and learn a technique and go back to work. Guys, guys and gals are talking to each other. And then inevitably we will have circle the chairs and just kind of talk, and guys and gals will tell us their stories, and they'll open up. They don't have to, but they do. And that by itself is therapeutic. And then you get all the civilians that are in there, and it's just a big bonding session that goes on all around woodworking. And what's great about it being a traditional hand tool is the vets are going to leave with about $2,000 worth of hand tools to take home. And you don't need a lot of stuff, because now you've learned how to deal with wood with hand tools. You can go in your garage and set up a little workbench. You don't need power. And when you're feeling your demons coming on, you just go there and plane some wood and hopefully get yourself in a better place.
Absolutely. What's the reaction been within like the civilians that come and be a part of this? Because like we're saying, that this is a scholarship funded for the veterans. There's 12 people in the class. Six of them are veterans, six of them are civilians, and they actually pay to come there and do this. I know the guys in our class seem to really, really enjoy it, and some of them didn't really know many veterans outside in their personal lives. And so since my class, even, what has been the response of that?
More and more we're getting civilians who are vets that are coming. They may have escaped injury, but they know what the combat wounded vets are going through, and they come to support the program. And Rex is the one that comes to mind. Rex came from Texas. He was a World War II, pardon me, he was a Vietnam vet. Got dropped into the jungle of Vietnam in 1967 for a year, and saw a lot of bad stuff. But like he said, Rob, I had no idea what I was getting into. He said, these guys today are going back 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times, and they know exactly what they're going back into. And he just said, I have so much respect for them. He says, I had to come here and support the program. So what Rex said is really starting to sum up who we're getting from the civilian side. More and more, they're coming not because they're necessarily to the woodworking part of it, but they're coming to support their veterans. And that's awesome. That's
awesome.
You know, that's I never envisioned that would be the case. I wanted to bring six civilians in to turn them into missionaries for the program, in the same way that my meeting Jesse turned me into one. And now not only are we getting that kind of support, but it's great therapy for the guys that are suffering, particularly PTSD, that don't go outside their homes. And now all of a sudden we're putting them in a room with 11 other people that they don't know. And by the end of the week, these guys are laughing and joking. And if you didn't know any better, you'd say they were just average citizens. It's what occurs in 6 days is something that I don't think most professionals in the field that treat these guys would believe could actually happen. But we see it.
No, it's firsthand. You guys really do. I know my roommate, and I won't say names or anything, he was one of those guys who hadn't pretty much left his house in like 3 years. He has a wife, and he's on disability, and she works, and he does projects around his house and everything. But he wasn't leaving, and by the end of the time there, he was like already talking to old friends back on the phone and about to go get a new job and all that stuff, just within the course of being back out in the community, even as small as 12 other guys. But it was really, really awesome to see.
Yeah, I'll throw another aspect too. It's not like we do get a lot of civilians who have never even touched the military. And for mm-hmm. those guys who come in and they're supporting the program, they'll leave the week going, I watched the movies, I heard the newscast, but I never knew anyone in the military. It never really connected with me. But after this week in seeing all these guys and making friends with them and understanding their stories, man, I really understand now. And they go away with just a much better perspective of military service and what it's like and the challenges to be the veterans. And I want to thank that they're all out there in their communities now, talking to other people and being those missionaries
whether it's for our program or just missionaries for support of vets wherever they are. I hope that's what's happened.
I think it is. It was pretty powerful just those couple of days, and we've already mentioned the names, but when Zach came back, he called me the next day, and I just know he had a great time. So we just need to spread the word, like you're saying. Is there any other like big experiences that you guys have like noticed that you just kind of want to share, or any other last little bit of information you want to put out there?
But there is one thing that I want to stress, and as hard as this is, you got to understand and see it from our side. This is like applying for the scholarship. It's like walking into the emergency room at the hospital. If you're bleeding, you're going to get seen right away. If you don't portray how bad your situation is, you're going to be the last guy to get taken care of. When Luther and I sit down and we have two paragraphs to read to determine who's in the worst shape, who needs this the most. And I understand now how you guys think. You're always thinking about the other guy, and you don't want to take a spot away from someone who needs it worse. And I try, if I can get through to these guys, here's what I tell them. You let us help you, and then you can turn around and help as many as you want. But we can only pick the ones that we really get a feel for how bad their situation is. So you got to be bold when you write those two paragraphs and let us know what you're going through, so we can find you and get you here.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
And it's okay to write more than two if you want.
Yeah, because a lot of guys they want to act all tough but not fully reveal or be vulnerable with what they're actually experiencing, and that's what part of this is to help with, is being honest with yourself and others and asking for help. And you don't need to necessarily look at it as for help, but you guys are offering a service and you're going there and learning a skill. You're not taking a free handout by any means. That's a really good point. I'm glad
you're coming here to be trained without knowing it. You're coming here to be trained to be able to go out and help as many others as you can reach. So think of it that way. Cause we tell them now when they're done, the only thing they owe us is they owe us a replacement, and that doesn't stop. You go find us somebody who needs this just as bad or worse than you did, and you make sure we get them here. And Luther and I both agreed that we give referrals from students top billing.
Yeah. I think we mentioned just the website, but in the process of applying, it's just gone robcosman.com.
Go to robcosman.com. That's the Rob's woodworking retail site. And one of the menu tabs will say Purple Heart Project. If you click on that, there's a lot of information on the project itself. There's articles that have been written about us. There's a detailed description of kind of everything we've talked about today, what our mission is, what our selection criteria is. And then one of the things you can click on is how to apply. And it's pretty simple. It's really just 15 questions you got to kind of answer, and you end up emailing it back to me, and I collect those applications for about 6 months, and then about a month and a half before the next class, that's when we sit down and make selections. In fact, we'll be making selections for the October 2018 class here in about 1 or 2 weeks. So there's still time to get an application in for October. And if you miss that, I just start collecting them for the next class, which will be in the April, May 2019 timeframe.
Perfect. Well, I think we covered a lot. And is there anything else that you guys actually want to add? Because last one was good, Rob.
Just spell the website. It's C like Charlie, O, S like Sierra, MAN.com, robcosman.com.
I'll put all the descriptions, or I'll put all y'all's information in the descriptions of everything that we post.
The other good thing would be to and search Rob Cosman's Purple Heart Project, because we interview, in fact, you can find Tyler's on there. We interview all the vets on the last day and give them a chance to say thank you to the sponsors and ask them specifically to talk directly to other fellow vets and get the message across.
Yeah, absolutely. Sweet, guys. Well, I really appreciate y'all taking the time to do this.
Yeah, no problem. Enjoy doing it.
Thanks for the help, Tyler.
Good.
I think the biggest misperception is that somehow we're damaged. that nothing really can stop us.